Blind Cool Tech, May 17, 2006.
Blind Cool Tech, where
fun. I wanted to play with the podcast stuff, okay?
Technology,
the world,
is anybody there? And blindness.
Ah, God, who put that wall there?
Can all come together.
Hey, y'all, how you doing? I'm Larry Skukon, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech, or How to Read Traffic While Using a Guide Dog. Beth had left a message on the comment line asking for a little explanation about ways to cross streets and judge traffic. Good boy, little buddy. And that's what we're going to try to do today while we chat. And I do have to start off, however, with a disclaimer that I am not an O&M or an orientation and mobility specialist. I try to pay attention to what I've heard from O&M specialists over the years of in the training I had with the use of a long white cane and with the use of guide dogs. And I will try to remember all the important points. I'm no expert. I feel like I do okay with it. I'm still alive. That's one testimonial. Now, knock on wood, I may get hit today. I've never been hit by a car. The only time I've even come close is it was a very odd situation where a car was stopped and I was actually in front of it when he took off. I guess I was approaching from the right side and he must have been looking to the left. And nobody was hurt or anything, but it certainly scared both me and, it must have been Fred I had at the time. It's been about a year or two ago. So as we approach each intersection, I'd like to describe it to you and tell you right up front that you should, in the ideal world, you will know your environment. So for instance, I know I'm coming up to a four-way controlled intersection here. In fact, I just crossed over a driveway. I should have mentioned that. And there were no cars, so we didn't even slow down. We didn't hear any cars approaching. Now, this one, there are cars waiting at the red light on the cross street. And there's cars coming, so I'm going to go ahead and go. So we have our parallel traffic. Good boy, and you just heard it. Now, see, actually, good boy. That was at the end of the light. I probably would have been better to hit the traffic light on that one. But I think we made it across quite safely and in plenty of time. So, you know, if you see your parallel traffic approaching, and especially in this case, the car on the side street was on the same side of the street I was, so I could get out from in front of him quickly. It might be a different story if the traffic is on the lane furthest away from you. So I'm actually fortunate in that I don't have any very complicated or extremely busy intersections. I do have one that is very tough to cross that's not on my daily route, though. And that is right there at the corner of Stilts and Frankfort, where it's a T intersection where Stilts empties onto Frankfort. It's light controlled, but when you're crossing from Frankfort from the north side to the south side where Stilts is, it's difficult to judge. Good boy. Now here's the side street. a T with a stop sign, no traffic, so I just gave Jake a hand signal. Good boy, little buddy. And no big deal crossing. We really don't even slow down. Jake kind of looks back when he sees that we're coming to an intersection. And you don't want to do that when you have a new dog. You really do want to come to a complete stop at each intersection. As I've gained experience, and probably your guide dog trainers would tell you this is not a good idea, I just use the hand signal and don't even break the stride. We are now going to turn to the south, cross the street at a controlled intersection, a T intersection again. Bel Air, if I'd have just kept going straight, I'd have crossed Bel Air. But I'm taking a right, and Bel Air comes up to Frankfurt again to a T intersection. This car is on Frankfurt Avenue, it's passing us. And we're very fortunate here to have an accessible light. Not that it's so good for stopping traffic, but it's a good, especially to let you know when there's no traffic around, if you don't hear any traffic, that you have, you know, the right of way. Or you have the light. Now, always when you cross, you still have to make sure that nobody's running lights or not paying attention or what have you. So if you hear somebody coming at a high rate of speed or not slowing down at all. Hey, good boy. So we hear no traffic at all. Well, we do to the left, but he's slowing down. He's quite a ways off. And there's one to the right that's slowing down. Good boy. And we're across the street. And now walking along the south side of Frankfurt Avenue, heading east. Good boy, little buddy. Got some fairly low tree branches here, so don't be surprised if you don't get a smack in the face or something here. Fortunately, on a podcast, it's not quite as dramatic as in the real thing. You might hear a little microphone noise. So we've got a long straight shot here. There's actually one, two streets on the left. We come to the T intersections on Frankfurt, but on the side that we're on, there's not another street until we get to the other side of the railroad tracks. Railroad tracks are something else you have to be very careful about as well. And I think I mentioned in an earlier cast, it's when you're dealing with railroad tracks, you have to know exactly where you are. I mean, I have been in situations where and it's easy to do, where you're not really sure exactly what block you're on. And that doesn't do when you're around railroad tracks. That's it, little buddy. Good boy. How about... Now, as I mentioned, you should know your intersections. You should know your environment. If you're walking in an area that you don't, you don't take any precaution. I mean, you take all precautions. You always wait when you come to a corner for the traffic cycle to begin so that you know you're not at the end of the cycle as you begin to cross, as I was there at Haldeman Avenue at that very first red light. I was at the very end of the cycle there, but again, it didn't matter quite as much since the only traffic that was there was on my side, and could tell that the oncoming car wasn't going to be through the intersection any sooner than I was. All right, so here's our railroad track, and again, you have to listen very carefully here. Even if I hear the railroad bells, I'm going to stop here and let Jake relieve himself. If I hear the bells, I don't even, there's no way I'm even going to come near these tracks. Now sometimes, seems like even, especially when it's rainy, these railroad guards will come down and then go back up. And I don't, I listen very carefully for a train at that, you know, in that situation, and also go by the traffic. Now, in Kentucky, and I'm sure in most states, buses are required to stop at the tracks. So that's a good indication, you know, if one of them stops and then takes off. Like this truck here is stopping and taking back off across the tracks. So that's a pretty good indication that there's not an oncoming train. All right, I'm coming to New Old Main Street, and we're just going to go straight on across. I just gave Jake a little hand signal. It's a T intersection. There's no traffic, either parallel or side street traffic. Good boy, little buddy. Now, our next street up here, you can probably already hear the accessible light. Actually, I don't... Many of these lights... Whoa, low branches. Really, that one we just used is about the only one that I consider really necessary around here. There's this third one up at Bailey. I don't even know why they have a regular light there. But they do. And I also have an accessible one, so I don't know what that's about. Now, this intersection I'm coming up to is Clifton Street, which is a T intersection, traffic controlled. I hear that we have the light now, because we've got our parallel traffic. The thing you have to watch out here is right turns. Like, I'm waiting for this bus, because it... Well, I'm going to go ahead and go. We've got our parallel traffic. Good boy. That's it, little buddy. So that is something you always have to be concerned about, is cars making right-hand turns. You may be hidden behind a pole or something where they don't see you. That's it, little buddy. Good boy. Or they could just not be paying attention. And I especially worry about that when I cross Grinstead there at Stilts. And I'll show you why when we get over there. Like I was saying, if you're not totally familiar, and it doesn't hurt either if you want to wait the entire traffic cycle, it's always best to cross the street at the beginning of the cycle. And also in this, you know, this is not a super high traffic area. You know, if I was in Manhattan, I probably wouldn't be doing it this way. I'd probably use the pedestrian traffic to judge what was going on more than I would other things. All right, we're coming up to another side street. We're in it now. Good boy. I gave Jake the signal to go. There's no cars. This is Rousteter Street. No cars on it waiting to come or anything, so we just went right on without stopping or anything. We've got two more T-intersection type streets here with stop signs. And that's the way we'll do all of those. I think we have Keats and then Jane. Oh no, Jane and then Keats. One of the things I did when I was younger, first out of college, living in Little Rock, that I thought was kind of awesome at the time, and still do really, is I went to a job fair at a convention center or fairground type of area. And we're walking down a slight incline here and into a very small import repair and sales business here. And right at the other side of that, which you can also tell by the landscape, is a street. Good boy that we're crossing. Stop sign again. No traffic on it, so we just continued on. One of the things I did, though, this was on Roosevelt, which is a fairly busy street in Little Rock. I walked back from that. I can't remember how I got there, whether I took a cab or what, but on the way back, this was way before cell phones, so, and I knew the general street, the general layout. I had never walked it before, and I honestly wouldn't have done this with a cane, but with the dog, I went ahead and walked back, and that was a case where I was very careful about intersections, because I didn't know. You know, I knew there were several that were controlled and several that had stop signs, but I wasn't familiar enough with the area to know which was which until you came up to it and observed the traffic flow for that particular intersection. Good boy. We're now crossing Keats. Same thing. No traffic. It's a side street T intersection with a stop sign. There's actually not very much traffic on Frankfort Avenue today either, for some reason. I know you guys have heard a lot of these walks down Frankfort Avenue, and probably think it's a very, very busy street, and it can be, especially on a Thursday or Friday evening. But you come out here on a Saturday or a Sunday early in the morning, there's nothing.
Oh, thanks. Where's the railroad?
So the,
oh, thank you.
You need to get past. Oh, it's not. But she's walking up right behind me. I was going to say, she's walking fast if she's wanting to pass me. I actually like to walk fairly quickly with the dogs, because it gives them more to do. It keeps them alert. If you dilly-dally around too much, then at least the ones I've had have a tendency to start lollygagging and sniffing is not something you want to let your guide dog do while he's working. Good boy, little buddy. We're coming up to probably the busiest intersection. How about that's it. That was a driveway we crossed. That's actually a fairly dangerous driveway, too. Now, I know traffic is stopped here. I mean, we can hear them waiting, so we'll be... And there's the cross traffic. So we'll just wait for this cycle to go. This is an accessible light, but we don't really need the accessibility, because we've got the parallel traffic to judge by. And there it goes, and so do we. Good boy, little buddy. There is a car waiting right there on the right, and possibly some more behind it. Good boy, little buddy. A little bit windy out here. Apologize for that wind noise that you're probably hearing. While we're waiting for the next intersection or waiting for us to arrive at the next intersection, not waiting for it to come to us. I hope you're on your treadmill or moving around, walking with us here. No fair sitting back in that easy chair and letting the intersections come to you. While we're doing that, I'd like to talk a little bit about Rick Harmon's issue with the speech, with Jaws stuttering and bogging down when the computer is under a load. And I honestly maintain, and I believe I mentioned this to Rick, I think that any computer you get that doesn't have hyper-threading or the newer dual-core technology is going to do that. I mean, every one I ever had before did. And, all right, we're coming up to Peterson Avenue now, which is a fairly busy street, but it's a T-intersection. That car just turned on Peterson. We're crossing. It's a stop sign. It's kind of busy because it's the first street going this way that'll get you all the way through to Grinstead, which is a way to access the interstate. I remember when I got my first PC with hyper-threading, that was something I noticed immediately. What hyper-threading is, for those of you that don't know, is a way for the processor to divide tasks. So it's almost like having two processors. So, little low branches. Jake's looking up, letting me know. So that if the load gets significant on the CPU, it can spawn another thread of execution. And that's what keeps your speech running on those systems. I thought the hyper-threading was a little bit of hype when I first read about it, but as soon as I actually had one in my hands and running speech and doing operations that did put a significant load on the system, it's very apparent. Good boy. We are crossing Galt now, which is also a side street, T-intersection with a stop sign, no traffic at it. That was one of the, like I said, that was the very, one of the very first things I noticed. It was so overwhelmingly apparent, in fact. I got this machine at work and I decided I really needed to get something like that at home. You know, when you go from one at work that's doing that, and then, you know, and it's not really a problem until the machine starts doing something, like you start encoding an MP3 or compiling a program, something that takes a good amount of resources. So the hyper-threading is definitely an advantage with speech. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And I think you're going to get that bogged down situation on any machine that doesn't have either the hyper-threading or the dual core, which is essentially like having two microprocessors. Good boy. We're now crossing Frank Street, which is also a T-intersection with a stop sign. Now, I believe there's also dual core with hyper-threading. And I don't think I've ever managed to bog down my dual core. Yeah, oh yes, I have. I have bogged it down. Not to the point where speech slows down, but to the point where you can notice a little performance degradation. And I just wonder if the dual core with hyper-threading would alleviate any of that. Don't know the answer to that, because I don't have one of those machines. So if one of you does, that would be an interesting piece of information to know. We are coming up to Height, which is also a stop sign, T-intersection. We're out in it. Good boy. Jake kind of just looks looks back a little for the hand signal. And if I don't give it, he does stop. Now, it's odd that driveway I was telling you about there at Walgreens right before we got to the last traffic-controlled intersection at Ewing. Very dangerous driveway because people are coming out of that parking lot and they're not looking. I don't know what's there, but here in the last week or so, Jake has really looked down as we come up out of the drive and onto the sidewalk like there's something there. And I've noticed when there's a step up as you're coming out of the street, the dog will look down at the curb and look at your foot and try to time things so you'll step naturally up onto the curb. I mean, it is a slight curb. Good boy. Alright, we are now crossing Bailey, and it's a controlled intersection with a traffic light, but we have the cross traffic. I mean, the parallel traffic. Still do, in fact. And there was nothing there. It is just actually a T-intersection, and I honestly don't know why it even has a traffic light, much less an accessible one. Now, this next light up here is at Stilts, and that's where I take a right. But that is one place that really does need an accessible signal. Because if you're, like I was saying earlier, if you're heading west on Frankfort, get off the bus, you have to cross Frankfort Avenue, and you don't, the people coming from Stilts either have to turn right or left, so you don't have any parallel traffic, and it's a little unnerving to wait for somebody to go and turn in front of you and then walk out there knowing that there's probably another car right behind them. So I don't quite understand why we got an accessible light at Bailey and not at Stilts. Now here we're crossing a little driveway where there was a car waiting, and he wasn't out in the sidewalk, so that was polite of him. Now today we hadn't run into any cars that... Hey!
Hi.
Good. See, we're just going to pull over and let this fire engine go by. I'm moving over here to the right just to make sure I'm not out in a driveway or anything. Okay. You never know whether those guys need to turn in. And I certainly don't want to be between them and the fire. Good boy, little buddy. Also, Beth wanted to... Oh, yeah, I was telling you, if a car is... All right, we're crossing Kennedy. Good boy. No traffic whatsoever. It's a T-intersection with a stop sign. Sometimes, though, a car will be at the intersection. And if they're back, it's... I will generally walk in front of them. Not always the best idea, like I told you earlier. If they're pulled out, way out into the intersection, though, the dog will usually just go right behind the car naturally. Or if you prefer to go behind the car, you can direct them to. That's not always the safest thing to do either, depending on which way you're going. Because if you're coming out from behind a car and there's somebody wanting to turn in on the street in the lane that you have not crossed yet, good boy. Here is Crescent Street, same thing, no traffic. Stop sign, T-intersection. Sometimes we'll walk down that street, in fact, but the sidewalks are a little less clear than they are here as far as branches and overheads and cars parked up on the sidewalk, in fact. So, you do want to be careful. Beth asked a question that nobody has answered on the comment line yet about what, pray tell, is a Bluetooth radio? Well, Beth, a Bluetooth radio is what is used to communicate between devices with Bluetooth technology. Bluetooth is actually radio frequency technology. And the radio is what is on your computer. It's the little thing you plug into your USB port. Laptops will have them built in, and you can actually turn off the Bluetooth radio to stop the laptop from... Well, usually what they're doing is looking for a signal, unless you specifically tell it you want to send something via the Bluetooth. Good boy, little buddy. You know what? I told you guys that was Kennedy back there. That was Birchwood. I just crossed Kennedy, which was also a T intersection with a stop sign. Now I'm coming back in off the detour and crossing Crescent. And it also is a T intersection with a stop sign. No traffic again. Lots of parallel traffic to go by. So a lot of times laptops will allow you to turn off the Bluetooth radio to conserve energy, conserve your battery. There's a little alley we're crossing. Never any traffic there. Although, there could be. So you definitely have to watch for that. One of the things I also wanted to address, and it may take a separate podcast, but I had a couple of emails asking, how do I make a podcast and how do I get it to you? Well, there's several ways to make a podcast. Probably some of the easiest ways are to use these digital recorders from either Olympus or the iRiver. You know, the easiest and most inexpensive ways anyway. And once you have a recording made on that, the next trick is to get that recording to your PC. And if your device has a USB port, it's pretty common that that device will show up as a drive on your PC and you just use your regular copy commands. Now here's Stilts coming up, but we don't have to cross it. We're going to take a right and head toward the south. And you know, I'm glad I don't have to cross this street, because traffic moves pretty fast, and you know, it's either going to go straight or right. And Stilts is really a pretty good through street. It goes straight through to Lexington Avenue, where there is another traffic light. And in the house I lived in before I bought this one, it was actually up about three blocks from here and then across Stilts. That was a bear to cross, because it was not a controlled intersection. I was crossing where the stop sign was for the side street, so I just had to wait for traffic. And you know, you really, the ideal thing would be to cross here at the light, but couldn't do it because there's no place to walk on the other side. The water company's there, and there's a very steep hill and no sidewalk. random, buddy. So, if you have one of these digital recorders that shows up as a drive, you just connect it with your USB port and copy your file over. It may be, if you're doing it on Olympus, it'll be a WMA file, Windows Media Audio. And if you're doing it on an iRiver, it will be an MP3 file, most likely. That's the easy way to do it. If you're doing it with maybe some older technology, or with a mini disc, a lot of times you actually have to just play the file on your mini disc and use a patch cord to record to your computer. Okay, that car turned right there, that's Stilts. That's the next street we're crossing. And it, again, is a T-intersection. There's a car pulling up to the intersection now. He took off. We're going to go ahead and go. There's another one pulling up, but he stopped. He sees us. We're out in front of him now, and we're past him. Good boy. We're across the street. All right, and we took a right. So that is all the street crossings. Back to the podcasting. If you're using a mini disc or even a cassette recorder, you just have to play the disc and record onto the PC. You'll have to set up with a recording program on the PC and just record from the line in. So you take the line out of your recorder, a cable from the line out, and put it into the line in on your sound card on your PC, set your levels and so forth, and just let it play for the duration. And then once you have that on your PC, you can send that to Blind Cool Tech. And the way you send it to Blind Cool Tech, probably the easiest way is to use a internet service like YouSendIt.com, YouSendIt.com. And what they will do is they'll allow you to upload the file to them, give you my email address, which is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and then they'll send me an email, and I can download the file from their server. I mean, they only give me about 7 days to do that, but that's fine. That's all I need. So that is a summary of the basics. If someone needs more detail about either one of those, any of those steps, please just let us know and we'll be happy to go into it in a little more detail. Good boy, little buddy. We're heading up the steps on our front walk. Hey, Joe, how are you, buddy? How's that bug looking?
That's all
right. Yeah?
Come
away. Need me to check your hood? You want me to stay away from that hood, don't you? Good boy, little buddy. All right. Y'all have a good one, and we will see you next time. Well, hi, Fredsters. How are you, big guy? I'm gonna do Jake's harness here and he can go free. And he's gonna flop around on the floor a little bit. Yep. What a meathead. He just stands up, throws his body down, rolls over, did it again, threw his body down, tail wagging, laying on his back. Threw his body down again. Don't know that dog. Anyway, you all have a great one. And we'll let Jake roll around like a flaming idiot here. One of the things I think that he does that's really funny is get up against the couch and launch himself off and slide across the floor.
Hey guys, it's Beth, Newport News, Virginia. On this beautiful Tuesday evening. Larry, I wonder, for those of us who are rusty at this, if you could go over what you listen for when you cross streets of varying degrees of difficulty. Now that we have this wonderful ability to record in stereo, it really gives a whole new dimension to environmental listening. And I've already learned a lot from your podcast. But if you could please go over how you cross different kinds of streets, what you listen for, that would really be cool. Okay, that's it for now. Thanks. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Hi, Larry. This is Kathy. I heard that you played my message about petting guide dogs, and I do appreciate you putting me on the air, letting me get my views across. I also wanted to comment that I enjoy the space podcast. I learned a lot about the one in India. It's just interesting to hear about people's homes. Let's see, what else did I want to say? I enjoy learning about things that are out there for the blind that I may not have heard about or seen. Even if I can't afford them, I still like to hear about it and dream, because once in a while I can get something. And let's see, what else? I guess that's it. I can't think of what else I wanted to say, so I my mind's gone blank. But anyway, I wanted to thank you for all your work, and I appreciate learning, and these podcasts are wonderful, and I enjoy everybody contributing to putting their own podcast on. I don't have any equipment to be able to do it at this time, so I can't contribute podcast-wise. But I am out there listening, and I do enjoy them, and I do learn. And I thank you, and I appreciate all your all's hard work and effort. Bye.
Hey, newsflash, this is Beth. I just got an email from Judy Dixon, and she said that WebRail should be back up and running within a week or two. So that is great news. I also have something else exciting to report. My favorite search engine now is ask.com. The reason is that it gives you so many options for searching. I haven't studied it yet, but I just tried the local link, and it is so easy, guys. It is awesome. You click on the local link, and then you put in, they have two search boxes side by side, well, one under the other, and the first one, you put in what you want, like restaurants, the category. And the second one, or I guess you could, I don't know if you could put in a business name, but I put in health food store. No, health food, I think. And the second, you tab over, and the second one, you can put in a city or zip. And you get the most awesome results. And it's so easy, and you can click on however, what distance you want. Do you want it, I don't remember the exact numbers, I'll make them up, 1.5 miles away from you? Do you want it 2.5 miles away from you? Do you want it 5 miles away? You know, in other words, the result. How far do you want it to be? It gives the place name, it gives the phone number, it gives if it has a website or not, gives how many miles away it is. You can get directions, which I didn't try, but I'm sure they're verbal, because it also has a thing for getting a map. It is awesome, guys. And, I mean, they've just got so many different ways to search for things now. These are new features. Ask.com did not used to have all these things. Try it out. Oh, my gosh. I haven't found a contact page, but if I do, I'm going to thank them, because they are doing a magnificent job. Okay, that's it for now. Have a good one. Bye.
So we'll let these boys out, and we'll talk to you all again real soon. Thanks for listening, Blind Cool Tech. Enjoy. I always enjoy talking with you. Even though you guys don't answer back. Well, you do. Through the comment line, don't you? Oh, I see somebody's rope on the doorknob here. Toy rope.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our comment line is 206-984-9203.